the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, the number one podcast throughout the state of Kansas without any data to back that up. Bringing you the latest in all sports news from KCAC to AAC to the NBA to the NFL to the NCAA. You get all of that right here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. Welcome aboard the A-Train Sports Talk podcast. It is the number one podcast in the state of Kansas. And I can probably prove it, but I'm not going to do it tonight. But I will tell you, if you hop aboard this train, you're going to be on a journey. Now, I want to say that I have reached out to a few people. So, this week, and this week, weekend, Friday, Saturday, looking like, we're going to have Player Spotlight. We're also going to have Coach's Corner interview as well, too. So I am actually looking forward to that. Coach Joe Jackson out there at Mays South. And the young man who has played his high school ball right here in the city at Bishop Carroll. Looking forward to getting those two gentlemen on. But there's a report out as we look at college football. As you know, right now, the news of the day, the Chargers got their man. The Chargers got Jim Harbaugh. So what I've been mulling with in my mind, in essence, is that this means that Ohio State can reclaim their throne in the Big Ten, even with the influx of new teams coming in. So there's an article that just surfaced about 8 hours ago, and it says Ohio State's Ryan Day has pulled out all the stops and now must deliver. And it's not that Ohio State likely leveraged a war chest from a prodigious collective to recruit players to join the 2024 Buckeyes. It's that Lane Kiffin believed it was worth tweeting a link to a story that claimed the Buckeyes had spent $13 million on players in the transfer portal. Kiffin, head coach at Ole Miss, has put together a transfer portal class including former Texas A&M defensive tackle Walt Nolan, LSU running back Logan Diggs, Oklahoma safety Key Lawrence, and Florida edge rusher Pricely Umanmalen. I hope I pronounced that right. When the portal window closed, the Rebels had the number one ranked transfer class in the nation. Then Alabama head coach Nick Saban announced his retirement. Players who had signed on to be coached by Saban entered the portal, and the best programs in the country came after them. Perhaps no program has done more to add quality players to its roster than Ohio State. Since losing wideout Marvin Harrison Jr., running back Mayan Williams, and defensive tackle Michael Hall Jr. to the NFL draft, and quarterback Kyle McCord, Syracuse, and wideout Julian Fleming, Penn State, to the transfer portal, Ryan Day has taken Portal King crown from Kiffin. In the month of January, Day and the Buckeyes have added former Kansas State quarterback Will Howard, former five-star and Alabama quarterback commit Julian Sayin, former All-SEC and Ole Miss running back Quinshon Judkins, former Alabama center Seth McLaughlin, and former Alabama safety Caleb Downs. Howard came off the bench in 2022 to lead K-State to a Big 12 title over a 12-0 Texas Christian team. Sayan is regarded as the most accurate passer in the 2024 class with a fluidity that reminds some of former Heisman winner Bryce Young. Judkins has rushed for at least 1,100 yards in each of his first two seasons in college football. McLaughlin can be the best center in the country if he learns to snap the ball without mistakes, and Downs was the best defensive back in the country last year. But bringing in a loaded transfer class like the Buckeyes have done will come with massive expectations. In fact, it's not hard to see why many expect this 2024 Ohio State team to be a national title winner. Anything less will be considered a bust. It seems unfair today who owns a 56-8 record and has led Ohio State to two Big Ten titles, three college football playoff appearances, and a national title game appearance in 2020. But that's only if you're not a Buckeye fan. If you're a Buckeye fan, Day is on the wrong end of a three-game losing streak against Michigan and has watched the Wolverines win the last three Big Ten titles, make the CFP 3 years in a row, and succeed in going 15-0 with a national championship this past season. If you're a Buckeye fan, this is untenable. And with a new athletic director in Ross Borjak, who has shown he'll fire a head coach for having a program stuck in neutral, even if that means a $77 million buyout, then it's not difficult to see how patience will be in short supply for the 2024 Buckeyes. It's a proud fan base and a tough base, one that not only expects to win, but does not expect to go a full decade without a national title. It's a program that has been featured in the AP Top 25 poll at least once every year since 1968. The standard, like the one at Alabama, is not simply winning, but dominating opponents, especially hated rivals. No one understands that better than Day, who was once asked to say something nice about Michigan. His answer, no. Or if I can do it like a late night talk show host, he says it like this. When asked him to say something nice about Michigan, his answer was, no, 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 no. Name that overnight personality. After being a missed field goal away from defeating Georgia last year in the Peach Bowl, Buckeye fans openly asked if Day was the man to coach their team. And his response was that those fans were right to ask because he understands the expectations of the job. He doesn't get to dismiss them, and he doesn't get to act as if they don't matter. Day's victories in the transfer portal is yet another declaration of such. In addition to his recent portal haul, he is also adding the number one wide receiver in the country in Jeremiah Smith, and a top 50 recruit and four-star quarterback in Air Nolan, five-star wide receiver Carnell Tate, and Brandon Ennis are there waiting to join Amika Egbuka in what should be yet another talented receiving unit. The bulk of the defense that turned out to be one of the best in the country last year is set to return, including defensive ends Jack Sawyer and JT Timoloa, and defensive backs Denzel Burke, Jordan Hancock, David Igbenison, and Leighton Ransom. And just to make sure Day can get his offense back to running up the score, he has added Bill O'Brien, who has been a head coach in the NFL, Texans, and in the Big Ten, Penn State, as well as an offensive coordinator in the SEC, Alabama. Everything that can be done at Ohio State to win games, win championships, and win against Michigan is being done by Day. The question remains, and will remain until November 30th when the game is played, will that be enough? Teasingly, He was sent a Buckeye. He sent a Buckeye friend a text on Tuesday saying it had been 1,515 days since Ohio State last beat Michigan. The count by the minute. He said, "We count by the minute," he replied. That's what it means to be the head coach at Ohio State. If there has ever been a head coach to throw a killer instant combo breaker back by heading into the transfer portal, it's Ryan Day. But nothing short of supreme victory will suffice. So there you have the expectations that are set before one Ryan Day. So, with all that has taken place with the transfer portal and all the pieces that have been added, will Ohio State claim its throne in the Big Ten next year? Will they have enough firepower to overcome a Michigan team that will be breaking in a new coach who has coached them on an interim basis? It remains to be seen. Tell you what I'm going to do right here. I am going to take a break. And when I come back, I will have some more for you on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. That's right. We're doing it big when we're doing it often. That's right. The A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, the number one podcast in the state of Kansas, bring you all the sports information that matters most to you. So, don't you go nowhere. Be right back.
Chip, crack, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the Glass Man?
Hey, Glass Man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the Glass Man.
Hey, Glass Man.
The Glass Man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey, Glass Man.
Bring your vehicle to the Glass Man just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P, is fully stocked for all your grocery needs. We carry the largest selection of hot links in Wichita, including the world-famous Oklahoma links from Mountain View and Rogers, Kansas links from Yoder, Colorado links from Gold Star, as well as national brands such as Siegel and Dietz. Our meat department stocks ribs, pork butts, pork chops, brisket, hams, chicken, hamburger meat, oxtails, buffalo fish, whole catfish and fillets, and much more. In season, we stock hard-to-find produce such as red, yellow, orange, and purple meat, watermelon, cantaloupe, melons, tomatoes, corn, greens, okra, and more. We have a huge selection of fish fry, seasonings, sauces, and rubs, including the full lines of Louisiana and Slap Ya Mama products. In addition, we have all grocery staples including flour, sugar, bread, butter, cheese, snacks, milk, canned goods, candy, snacks, and drinks.
You're listening to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
welcome back into the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Still a lot more to get to. First segment, we talked about the expectations for Ryan Day. And if it seems like maybe that this show is centered around coaching moves, chances are it is. We still have yet to talk about Jim Harbaugh. We'll get to it. But I'm going to talk about another coaching move that was made, because it's kind of twofold. As we go south to the home of the Dirty Birds, they used to call themselves. Even had their own dance when they were scoring touchdowns. What Raheem Morris's return to Atlanta means for the Falcons. And I am going to try to give you some audio, because there are a couple of guys, in particular Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky, are excited to see what the former Rams OC brings to the table. So we're going to pull that audio up and see what they have to say. Then we're going to get into what this means for the Atlanta Falcons and this hire, as to why they hired him as opposed to why they didn't hire Bill Belichick. Because you go through the process of giving a legend of his status two interviews, but you go a different route. So let's see what the deal is.
Listen, I am fired up. Raheem Morris was my last defensive back coach. He's just an awesome man, but an amazing X and O coach, understands how to relate with players. And he's been there before. When Dan Quinn was fired, he had an opportunity to coach there. He was a guy that coached both offense and defense in Atlanta. We watched him move to Los Angeles and with the Rams win a Super Bowl. Bobby Wagner, who will be on the pivot tomorrow, when asked who he wanted to be Seattle's next head coach, actually mentioned the name Raheem Morris. And so I think this is a slam dunk for the Atlanta Falcons. And many people don't remember this, but as an extremely young coach, Raheem Morris was the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I believe that not going well for him when they tore down the entire team has been something that has been held against him. And to have this opportunity in Atlanta, now it's time to go out and get him a quarterback. And I think he's going to be extremely successful and a perfect fit for the city and the team.
Yeah, absolutely love this hire. We call Monday Night Football, and the Rams are one of our games this year. And Raheem is one of those guys, when you sit down with him, you go, you're a head coach.
Yes.
Just when you talk with him, the way that his energy, his presence, the way that he communicates, I think the joy that he has about ball. Like, when we sat and talked with him, that was a big takeaway. It's like, oh my gosh, this dude loves being in it with his players. And I think that is going to be something that is huge for Atlanta. The second thing I'd say is this: Les Snead, who's the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams, hired Sean McVay. How's that worked out? He was very passionate about the opportunity that he wanted for Raheem Morris to be a head coach. This guy he doesn't say stuff just to say it, Les Snead. So this is a guy that knows, if I do this, I'm going to risk losing my defensive coordinator. But he is that good of a coach and deserves that much of this opportunity that I'm going to do it. And I think that spoke volumes about Raheem as a man. I also think it spoke volumes about him as a potential and obviously now head coach.
So there you have comments about Raheem Morris being named coach of the Atlanta Falcons. So the Atlanta Falcons hired Raheem Morris as the team's next head coach on Thursday. Morris was in Atlanta 3 years ago when he was interim head coach after Dan Quinn was fired following the team's 0-5 start. Morris went 4-7 as the interim coach, and Atlanta hired Arthur Smith to replace him. The Falcons fired Smith after 3-7-10 seasons. Morris comes from the Los Angeles Rams, where he had 3 successful seasons as defensive coordinator and is widely respected around the league. He's coached on both sides of the ball. He's the first head coach owner Arthur Blank has hired with prior NFL head coaching experience. He was head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from 2009 to 2011. A young head coach at the time, he was 32 when he was hired by Tampa. This includes a search where Atlanta interviewed 14 candidates for the position and had multiple second interviews, including with former New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick. Taking a closer look, Falcons reporter Michael Rothstein answers 2 big questions about Morris's hiring, including what will happen at quarterback. National reporter Dan Graziano dishes on what he's hearing about the hire and why it wasn't Belichick. And draft analyst Matt Miller spins it forward to the draft. Finally, front office analyst Mike Tenenbaum grades the hire. So what has changed since Morris was Atlanta's interim coach in 2020? Rothstein said like this, a lot. The roster is almost completely turned over from when he left following the 2020 season. Only cornerback A.J. Terrell, defensive tackle Grady Jarrett, left tackle Jake Matthew, right guard Chris Lindstrom, right tackle Caleb McGarry, and kicker Young Hoku remain from the roster he left behind and are under contract for 2024. The Falcons announced both Morris and general manager Terry Fontenot will report directly to Blank instead of the CEO Rich McKay. Blank said McKay will no longer be involved in day-to-day football operations. The only thing that will look the same to him might be Mercedes-Benz Stadium and the practice field. So what will the Falcons do at quarterback? This is an open question and might be dictated by who Morris decides to hire as offensive coordinator. Both Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke, Atlanta's quarterbacks last season, remain under contract in 2024. But Blank called their play deficient during his January 8th press conference after firing Smith. So it's easy to surmise the Falcons will look to replace part or all of their quarterback room from a season ago. Ridder was a third-round pick in 2022 and is on a rookie contract. Heineke is a potential cap cut, a move that would save Atlanta $7 million. Morris was on the Rams' staff last season when Baker Mayfield came in as a late season replacement, and he is scheduled to be a free agent. So there would be some familiarity if Tampa Bay was unable to come to terms with Mayfield. But that's all speculation at this point. And Mayfield and the Bucs have expressed a desire to work something out. It's highly possible Atlanta brings in a free agent veteran for at least first year, and if a rookie quarterback makes sense, Falcons can either trade up or draft one at number 8 and have them compete. Or there might be longer term answers like Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson. Once Morris gets settled and assembles his staff, the first big piece of what he and Fontenot have to figure out is what to do at quarterback and how that quarterback fits into an offense with good skill position players. Running backs Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, receivers Drake London and tight end Kyle Pitts and Juno Smith are all under contract for 2024. So, why the Falcons didn't hire Bill Belichick? And this is what Graziano had to say. Multiple sources have said for weeks that Blank went into this process wanting Belichick, and I think the league and industry expected that to work out. But there were hurdles that couldn't be cleared. The organizational structure in Atlanta involves Blank and CEO Rich McKay and a lot of discussions with Belichick, centered on the idea of what McKay's role would be if Belichick came to coach the team, and how much power and control the various parties would have in the end. Belichick, who is 15 wins shy of breaking Don Shula's all-time record for most by a head coach, was seen as a short-term play. So there were some in the Falcons building who were concerned about overhauling things extensively, only to potentially have to do so again in a few years. Blank may have gone into the process wanting Belichick, but he also went in with an open mind and was willing to listen to the input of others in his organization. All of that combined with already high opinions of Morris led to this surprise result. And it could leave Belichick without a job in 2024. So the other question is, what else are you hearing around the league on the hire? Morris has as good and complete a resume as any candidate in this cycle, plus a strong relationship with Blank. So after interviewing 14 candidates, including Belichick twice, Falcons made a hire that makes all kinds of sense for them. Morris was on Atlanta's coaching staff from 2015 to 2020, a longtime defensive coach. He moved to the offensive side of the ball to coach Falcons wide receivers from 2016 to 2019. He then became defensive coordinator in 2020 and served out the final 11 games of that season as interim head coach following Quinn's firing. Interesting. There go the name Dan Quinn again. Defensive coordinator, Dallas Cowboys, who's also been courted by a few teams. Whether they take him on, it remains to be seen. Maybe they look at this track record. He might not be getting a head coaching job. He might be a high-paid defense coordinator in Dallas. Just saying. Anyway, for some reason, Blank decided that at that point to hire Smith instead of Morris. Well, 3 years later, the Falcons corrected their error. Morris is extremely well-liked and well-respected around the league, and Sean McVay and the Rams are pushing for him to get a head coach job this offseason. Morris had his second interview with Blank earlier this week, and sources said it went great, which is no big surprise. The two men are very close, but between his previous, albeit long ago, head coaching experience, his work as an assistant on both sides of the ball, and the time he spent under McVay, whose assistants always seem to become head coaches, Morris returns to Atlanta with all of the requisite experience to handle this job. If Morris opts to do defense at number 8, who is the perfect fit for his first pick as the Falcons coach? The 2024 draft class isn't rich with top-end defensive talent, but if Morris has his sights set on a defender at number 8, Alabama standout pass rusher Dallas Turner fits the bill. He's my top-ranked defender in the class, and he reminds me of the Jaguars' Josh Allen because of his awesome length and speed. Turner had 10 sacks in his final season for the Crimson Tide, and he not only has immediate starter ability, but also the highest upside of all defenders in this class. That's what the Falcons need, considering they posted a pass rush win rate of 30.9% in 2023, last in the NFL. And when asked how to grade this hire, Tannenbaum had this to say. He graded it as a B. Morris did an outstanding job rebuilding a very young and inexperienced Rams defense, but he has gone 21-38 as a head coach, 3 seasons with the Buccaneers from 2009 to 2011. As a matter of fact, I believe he had Josh Freeman as his quarterback, and an interim stint in Atlanta in 2020. His first decision as the Falcons coach, who will play quarterback, will be absolutely critical for Morris. So there you have the report on Raheem Morris getting another shot at this thing called head coaching. We wish him nothing but the best as we move forward. When I'm gonna go ahead and take a break right here, and when I come back, there is a question, and it goes like this. I may not have the whole article here, but we will talk about, is Jim Harbaugh the coach to bring the Chargers a Super Bowl? Is he the coach to bring the Chargers a Super Bowl? All right here on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. So don't you go nowhere. We're still building up ahead of steam on the state's number one podcast, the A-Train Sports Talk, with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P Seed and Babe, is fully stocked for all your pet needs. We carry Victor, Bully Max, Diamond Value Pack, and many more brands. In addition, we carry collars, chains, and any pet supplies you may need, including grooming supplies and dog shots. Make sure to like us on social media.
Chip, crack, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the glass man?
Hey, glass man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the glass man.
Hey, glass man.
The glass man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey, glass man.
Bring your vehicle to the glass man just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
To this podcast, there will be another one coming out real soon, as I have a player spotlight interview lined up coming up this Sunday with Carter Morris out of Bishop Carroll High School, athlete, and also have the Coach's Corner with Coach Joe Jackson of the Mays South Mavericks. So I wanted to get that out there, let you know what you could look forward to listening to, and that one will be published sometime Sunday evening. So as they say in radio, just want to get some housekeeping done and let you know what is to come. So we'll be getting back more toward our local scene. The only reason we haven't had the full court press lately is because a lot of tournaments have been going on, a lot more than I can keep up with. I know we have the internet and access, but like I said, it's been a daunting task. It's a daunting of enough task to keep up with the regular season. Then you get all these different tournaments going on. So my apologies if you were looking for that information, but we will be getting back on track with full court press. Like I said, those would be the scores from the Tuesday and Friday games, which will be airing like the day after. We'll look to reach out to more coaches also in the KCAC as we give you a look around the KCAC. Like I say, I will be doing a lot of local and Kansas region coverage, bring you information. Also looking forward to bringing on new sponsors. And right now, as we get back into this next segment, this one here is one of those close to home feel-good stories as Derby native tabbed to lead national champion Michigan. That's right. That was taking place this week. Harbaugh leaves Michigan. Now the head man at the Chargers, and we will get into that too. But Derby native is tabbed to lead national champion. So just 2 days after Jim Harbaugh bolted from Ann Arbor to become the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, Michigan Wolverines have tapped offensive coordinator Sharon Moore to take the reins. A native of Derby, Moore has been the offensive coordinator for the Wolverines since January of 2018, when Harbaugh was suspended amid a sign-stealing scandal in 2023. Moore took the reins as the acting head coach and led Michigan to a 4-0 record with signature wins over Penn State and rival Ohio State. Moore was born in Derby and played for Derby High School under Tom Young. Anybody remember that name? Tom Young. He was a legend. After graduation, he spent 2 seasons at Butler County Community College as an offensive lineman before transferring to the University of Oklahoma as a 4-star recruit in the class of 2006. After his time at Oklahoma, Moore was a graduate assistant at Louisville until joining Central Michigan and the Chippewas head coach Dan Enos. He was there until 2018 when he left for Michigan. Under Moore's leadership as offensive coordinator, his offensive line won the Joe Moore Award, awarded to the country's best offensive line unit in both 2021 and 2022. It was the first time any school had won the award back-to-back. Last season, the Michigan Wolverines stormed the college football playoff with a perfect 13-0 record, where they handled Alabama 27-20 in overtime in the semifinal and Washington 30-13 in the national championship game. So there you have it, the new leader, new head coach for the Michigan Wolverines. So my question is, how long, how much time do they give him, or how long can he sustain this before they start getting restless in Ann Arbor? Just a thought question. Just moving right along as I move to the headlines here. I want to take a look at high school student athlete Lamont Robbins as he excels in football and basketball. In the competitive landscape of high school athletics, the Houston Heights Bulldogs find themselves in the shadow of powerhouse teams like Bel Air, Lamar, and Westside within the 6A Region 3 District 18 basketball standings. This season marks a rebuilding phase for the Bulldogs as they only return one starter from last season's starting lineup, Lamont Robbins. Robbins, known for his proficiency in steals and boasting the team's highest free throw percentage, is determined to lead his team, comprised of younger and less experienced players, toward success. It's very challenging with a lot of younger guys who haven't had the varsity level experience. I have to help encourage them to not turn the ball over and play their role. Not everyone has to be the number one guy, but everyone plays an important role on the team, said Robbins. To better his game, Robbins studies the basketball playing styles of NBA All-Stars Chris Paul and LeBron James. Chris Paul is a student of the game. He does all the extra stuff to win. LeBron was the first big celebrity player I watched as a kid. He does everything. He can play positions 1-5, said Robbins. Who is Robbins? Well, he's a class 2024. Height and weight, 6 feet, 180 pounds. Players, he studies Chris Paul, Golden State Warriors, LeBron, Los Angeles Lakers. His status right now, he's uncommitted.
His favorite music, gospel. His favorite subject, U.S. government. His shout-outs, Dad, Mom, Coach Dixon, Coach Stevens. He is a young man who is in the state of Texas. He is a point guard, so just want to put some player spotlight on players that you might not have heard of thus far, who you might want to keep an eye on in the future. Yes, that is a little quick player profile snippet. My real player profile, like I said, is going to come this Sunday when I have Bishop Carroll's Carter Morris on Train Ride. I just want to bring some attention to this young man because this article is by a guy by the name of Jimmy Agassi. A young man that I happen to know, watched him grow up, and to see that he's in the scene like this and doing things like this, it is just good to see different players. So I'm going to have to definitely reach out and get him on my podcast as well too. So that was the reason for that article, and it's good to know that someone I actually seen as a child grow up to doing what he's doing, it's just amazing to see the growth, the maturity, and how he is just really putting his stamp on what he's doing now. His dad is still here in town. He's actually named after Dad, Jimmy Agassi. We used to call him J2 growing up. So. Jay, yeah, I'm going to say like this, J2, keep up a good job. Keep putting these articles out. I'll be featuring them on my podcast, and I will be featuring you on my podcast. So I will be getting them on here real soon. Matter of fact, let me just give you the backdrop on here. He says, I'm originally from Kansas. I graduated from the University of Kansas with a degree in communication studies. Shortly after moving to Houston in 2007, I began doing photography. I covered Cy Fair Sports Little League, then moved to covering more national tournaments. In 2018, I began covering high school football for the Houston Defenders. Fun fact, I have two kids, one who loves photography and one who wants nothing to do with it. I've been shooting youth sports with my son since he was 10. He is now 16 and sometimes gets better shots than I do at games. My life goal is to teach him the business so that when he gets older, he has a skill no one can take away. So once again, shout out to Jimmy Agassi, who was the contributing writer for that story that I just featured, and I look forward to getting more from him as I see there's a lot of stories from him, and who knows, he might have insight on some players that could possibly be coming this way. Just a thought. So I tell you what I am going to do right here, since I have taken up 11 minutes of your listening time. I am going to take a break, and when I come back, I'm going to look at the Jim Harbaugh situation as to what actually transpired as far as him taking a job at the Chargers. So, once again, Jim Harbaugh back to the NFL for a second time around. Is he going to shake up their culture? Find out. Need a haircut? Do like I do. Go to 256 North Topeka, Midtown Barbershop. Two seasoned barbers on staff. You have Malcolm and you have Tony. Specializing in bald haircuts, bald fades, mustache and beard trims, you name it,
they can do it. That's right. That's Malcolm. That's Tony at Midtown Barbershop, 256 North Topeka. You may walk in looking like $5, but by the time they get through, you'll walk out looking like brand new money. That's Midtown Barbershop with Tony and Malcolm. Tell them the A-Train sent you.
Chip, crack, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the glass man?
Hey, glass man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the glass man.
Hey, glass man.
The glass man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey, glass man.
Bring your vehicle to the glass man just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, the number one podcast in the state of Kansas. I imagine I have unpacked a whole lot on this train ride. Putting the final piece in the suitcase is basically what that means. We're getting ready to bring this train to the station. But before we do that, we finally want to get to what has happened this week, which is hiring of Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers. And there are some things to look at, not just on the field, but what happens off the field. And with all that has happened with the hiring of Jim Harbaugh, there has been an overlooked benefit of the Chargers hiring Jim Harbaugh. So Jim Harbaugh's arrival to the Chargers not only influences the team's performance for next season, but also what happens off the field. Chargers mission, Chargers fans, mission accomplished. After weeks of negotiation and intrigue, Jim Harbaugh is the official new head coach of the LA Chargers. Harbaugh was the hottest head coaching candidate in 2024, having won the latest NCAA championship with the Michigan Wolverines, and currently having a 44-19-1 NFL record in 3 years of coaching the San Francisco 49ers, whom he led to 3 consecutive NFC Championship games and Super Bowl. Harbaugh is famous for changing team cultures, taking them from decline to success and competing for championships. That is what we expect Jim Harbaugh to accomplish. Having had one of the best rosters over the last 10 years under former general manager Tom Telesco, the Chargers underachieved, making the playoffs only 3 times in that time frame. A lack of experienced, proven coaches was the main issue, and Brandon Staley was the latest example of this philosophy. Having spent only 1 year as a defensive coordinator in the NFL, Harbaugh is expected to maximize quarterback Justin Herbert's potential and lead the Chargers to strong seasons due to his leadership, winning record, and experience. However, the Chargers will not only benefit from his hiring on the football field, on the football side, especially in a league as successful and business-oriented as the NFL. So Jim Harbaugh will make the Chargers a relevant brand in L.A. Here's what we're getting to right here. Bringing together both a star head coach and quarterback and other star players on the current roster, the spectacular SoFi Stadium and the new facilities in El Segundo made the Chargers an attractive product within the Los Angeles and Southern California market. Fox Sports analyst Colin Cowherd is right in that LA is a very distracted city and that its residents do not care about a losing franchise. Just like in Miami, sports compete against other sources of entertainment, such as the beach, nightlife, casinos, and concerts. On the other hand, as you can
see in the tweet from the herd, almost every franchise in Los Angeles has been more successful than the Chargers. The clearest, most perfect example is the Rams, who recently won a Super Bowl and whom they share a stadium with. The Chargers also compete with huge sports brands like the Lakers and LeBron James, the Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani, and the rest of their stars. And even today, the Los Angeles Football Club, LAFC, who were the 2022 MLS Cup champions and 2023 runner-ups. A tweet that was on the Herd said, even hiring Mike Vrabel would feel small at Colin Cowherd on why Jim Harbaugh is the only option for the Chargers. Matter of fact, just what does he really have to say?
It really is, though, the only move for the Chargers for a lot of reasons. First of all, missed on multiple coordinators. Jim's not a coordinator. They need a real culture. I mean, there's a term called chargering. You got to get that thing out of here. Got to get chargering, like, off the mantle. He's a culture builder. No more chargering. They're already at a disadvantage in Los Angeles. USC's going to the Big Ten. You're going to be paying things. Michigan, Ohio State, USC, Penn State. And the Rams have had more recent success and more historical success. And the other thing is, Jim Harbaugh has a huge advantage, and it's one the Chargers need. Herbert, in about a year, Justin Herbert's going to be starting making big boy money. And they're $45 million over the cap now. So they have got a hit on multiple draft picks. They got to get cheap because they're overspending. They had some free agent misses. Herbert's going to be making a lot of money. You don't want to get trapped. At this point, Harbaugh's the only move. Even hiring Mike Vrabel, who I'm a huge fan of, would feel small. It just sounds right. Star head coach in Los Angeles with an emerging young star quarterback. It's like a movie script. And Reed and Mahomes are rolling. Okay, so you need a disruptor. And that's what Harbaugh's been. He was a disruptor to Pete Carroll and the Trojans when they ran college football in the Pac-12. He was recently a disruptor to Ohio State's dominance in the Big Ten for years. Dominance by the Buckeyes. He was a disruptor as Seattle was building a mini dynasty under Pete Carroll with the Seahawks in the NFC West. Disruptor, disruptor, disruptor. And this is actually more plug and play. This is an easier lift. I mean, Stanford was an absolute mess when he took it over. San Francisco had gone 8 straight years without a winning season, and nobody knew what to do with Alex Smith. And Michigan had 1 double-digit win season in 8 years before he got there and didn't even look like they could compete or match up with Ohio State. The Chargers were in the playoffs last season, and they've got their star quarterback. This is very close to plug and play. Hitting a couple of draft picks, move some chess pieces out of town because they're too expensive. This is a much easier lift than Sean Payton with Denver, where you had to fix an expensive older quarterback, you had to change the culture, you had new owners. The GM's not your GM. It's not what this is. This is Harbaugh moves in, has control to a large degree of personnel, star quarterback, star left tackle, star receiver, and a Bosa pass rusher. This is about as good a job. This is Matt LaFleur to the Packers. It really is. It's Matt LaFleur to the Packers.
So, there you have Colin Cowherd's take. So, Jim Harbaugh will make the Chargers a relevant NFL franchise. New LA Southern California sentiment will show in different ways and will bring positive financial results for the Spanos family and the franchise as a whole. As of now, according to the Los Angeles Times and SurveyMonkey, 26% of Los Angeles residents are Rams fans, and only 5% root for the Chargers, Raiders, 49ers, and Cowboys combined. That survey shows the current margin between the two Los Angeles teams. From now on, the Chargers will sell more season ticket memberships and raise the price of these and single game tickets. Chargers fans demand
for tickets will also increase, and opposing team fans will outbid us no more. New fans and those reinvigorated by Harbaugh's arrival will not only buy more game tickets, but also team jerseys and apparel. Finally, the Chargers will become a more popular team if they become a Super Bowl contender under Harbaugh. That will not only be reflected in the amount of time the media talks about the Chargers, but also in the number of new fans. Interestingly enough, according to Samford University's Keegan Sullivan, the Chargers were the second team with the fewest fans in 2022, only above the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they can only look up in the rankings. Last but not least, the team whose fan base grew the most 2017 through 22 were the Buccaneers, the Chiefs, and the Rams, who had these two things in common. One, they were Super Bowl. They were successful, each winning a Super Bowl. And two, they had star players in key positions. So there you have the situation on why Jim Harbaugh benefits the Chargers. My question will be, can Jim Harbaugh get the Chargers to the Super Bowl? That's a poll question. Can Jim Harbaugh get the Chargers to the Super Bowl? With that being said, I am getting ready to bring this train into the station. Hope you have enjoyed the train ride as much as I've enjoyed being your conductor. Like I said, I'll be back Sunday. Don't think it will be quite as long, but I will have two guests on. Looking at having Coach Joe Jackson, a South High School basketball coach, and Carter Morris, athlete from the Bishop Carroll Golden Eagle football team, in the player profile. So we're going to have the Coach's Corner and Player Profile on Sunday. So until next time, you take care of yourself and each other. Look forward to being with you guys on Sunday afternoon. Until that time, be blessed. I'm out.
Today's podcast was sponsored by The Glass Man, located at 4411 West Central. Chip, crack, or just plain broken, bring your windshield by The Glass Man.